Good morning. It's the 30th of August. Our first reading today is from 2 Kings chapter 4. I'm going to read to you from Brother Wood's book on Elisha, the neglected prophet, and I have chosen some sections which will bring our thoughts to the Lord Jesus Christ and his work of redemption. The first passage I'm going to read relates to the abundance of oil and has the heading Applying the Lesson. That a marvellous thing happened that day in Israel is not questioned, but is there anything else that we can learn from it? We may see ourselves in the same tragic situation when we could do nothing to help ourselves nor to save ourselves from the largeness of the debt owed to sin. A way, an abundant way, has been provided by the Lord Jesus to pay the debt and to open up a new life for us. We come with our empty vessels, but our sufficiency is of God. The debt to sin must first be paid before we can live thereafter. The grace is also abundant, not merely enough to survive on, but more than enough for all our needs. We have been redeemed, not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. The widow asked for help. She obeyed the commands, and she was well rewarded. A less than diligent search for empty pots would have resulted in a disappointing flow of oil, perhaps not enough to alleviate the want. But she responded heartily. There is something for us to think of here also. According to our faith, so shall it be unto us. Let us scant not. The payment, or servitude, required by the law was discharged. Even though the widow could not pay, yet it was fully met. Perhaps we see a parallel here as well in the work and sacrifice of Jesus. As we have suggested before, and will no doubt discuss again later, there are many of the miracles of Elisha which seem to point forward to the kingdom. One of the features of the thousand-year reign will be the abundant provision of food for those in need, as we read, for example, in Psalm 72. When the chains of sin and death will be broken, and there will be oil of gladness for those who now mourn or who are in sorrow. We might almost say that these seven verses in 2 Kings 4 have given us a picture of redemption, past, present and future. I want to turn now to a very short section in the book at the end of the passage which describes the raising of the son of the Shunammite woman. Brother Woods writes, "A double miracle had now been worked in this young life. The lad's conception had been by divine providence and was seemingly miraculous. Now he was a living testimony to the power of God. Supporters of Baal would probably seek to deny that he had ever died or that anything miraculous had taken place, just as the chief priests wanted to put Lazarus to death, as we read in John chapter 12. Jesus' own birth and resurrection might be seen in the same light. What then of the divine birth and resurrection that may be ours? Is there a parallel here also? Our resurrection may await the sudden return of the greater than Elisha from a far country, but we leave these contemplations for others to develop as they will. One thing is certain, the arrival of the one who will awaken the dead cannot now be long delayed." Brother Woods goes on to describe the miracle of the cleansing of the water and talks about the power of life after death. He concludes by saying, "It may be that the arrangement of these miracles in the divine record is so planned as to highlight the great love that was shown by God in bringing salvation to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Let us rejoice in that salvation as we contemplate these things today. Thank you for listening.